Welcome to Georgia Focus. I'm John Clark on the Georgia News Network. Georgia Public Library Service empowers libraries to improve the lives of all Georgians. The innovative, scalable technology and resources they provide saves libraries money and enables them to provide great services to all patrons, no matter where they live in Georgia. My guest today is Julie Walker. She is a state librarian for Georgia and associate vice chancellor for libraries. You and I have talked a couple of times during the pandemic. The libraries did very well during the pandemic. You helped out a lot of people and you stayed open a lot. What's the status right now?
The status right now is maybe even better than ever, because you're exactly right. The libraries provided so many needed services and programs during the pandemic, and right. I think our communities were so grateful for that. Our libraries are open now. They're welcoming people in if people are comfortable coming in. But because of the pandemic, they've developed new services like continued curbside service for people who aren't comfortable coming in or have mobility issues. And it's easier for the library staff to bring things out to cars, things like that. Virtual programming, virtual meeting spaces. Libraries are so adaptable, and I feel like we have come out of this better and stronger than ever.
Yeah, you get innovative, you know, at a time like this. And I know one thing that sticks with me that you had told me before was when people didn't have access to the internet, they could go and park in a library parking lot and get access to Wi-Fi. That was innovative, you know?
It was, and it was so very much needed. And of course, that continues, and libraries are even using some of the federal funds that we've been granted to extend their Wi-Fi service even further outside their buildings. They are also buying more laptops and more Wi-Fi hotspots that people can check out, because it just became very clear during the pandemic that everyone didn't have access to the internet, didn't have access to the equipment that they need to apply for jobs or complete schoolwork or all the myriad things people do on the internet. So libraries are doing their best to address that, continuing on now.
Well, we're in spring now, and school will be getting out soon, and it'll be time for summer reading programs. I know kids always have to read during the summer, going way back. I remember doing it as a kid myself. What about the summer reading programs at the libraries?
Oh, we're so excited about this summer. The theme this summer is Oceans of Possibilities. And after two really challenging and unpredictable summers, we are so excited to reconnect with our users and engage with our communities. And of course, the summer programs will vary from library to library, depending on community guidelines and what's going on and what the demand is. So I think parents and children will see even more flexibility. I think a lot of our libraries will continue to offer outdoor programming. We'll offer things like take-and-go craft kits, virtual programs, virtual book clubs, online music classes. But there will be in-person programming as well with special performers. We will definitely continue to keep an eye on pandemic conditions and see what's going on in every community. There may be a little bit more registration for certain programs just to keep the patron numbers low for safety reasons, but we are looking forward to having people back in our library, because that summer reading program is just so important for kids and for families, and people, I think, look forward to it every year. We will continue to use Beanstack. I think you and I talked about Beanstack before. It provides an online summer reading club. So in addition to the traditional paper reading logs that you and I remember, this is a digital platform, and it helps kids keep track of their reading and allows them to earn badges. So once again, the pandemic gave us some new ways of serving our communities.
You know, kids, I know back when I was in school, we were assigned specific books to read from a list during the summer. The kids still do that? And do they come to the libraries to do that?
They definitely come to the libraries to do that. Of course, every school district is different, right, but a lot of them have suggested summer reading lists. And I think it's so interesting, because studies do show that the vast majority of adults like us were introduced to the library often through the summer reading program. And having positive experiences like that has a lasting effect on the child's experience and the joy of reading. So the only thing that's changed now is you can read in a lot of different formats. I think we've had a conversation before about our program called eRead Kids that is eBooks for kids. So if you're going off on vacation this summer, kids can download eBooks to read on their tablets, as well as going and checking out the big stack of hard copy books.
Wow. Who'd have thought a few years ago? You know, that's amazing.
Absolutely. It's just changing like crazy. Every summer is something different.
It really is. Now, do you, because of things like that with ebooks and tablets and phones and every type of piece of equipment you can think of, does that impact the number of books that you have in libraries now, or are you still getting as many books as ever? Because I'm somebody who likes the book, so, you know, do you still get as many?
Absolutely. We really do. And I talk to our funding agencies a lot about the fact that libraries kind of need to buy double everything, because some people prefer that hard copy of the book in their hand, and some people really prefer loading up that tablet, so that's the only thing they have to take with them. So oftentimes we find ourselves buying the same title in two different formats, which is great, because we want to serve everyone and we want to take advantage of every penny of materials funding that we can get to purchase the things that our communities are looking for. And we're really grateful to the General Assembly this year. They increased the state funding for materials. We are currently now getting 60 cents per capita all around the state. Every single library in the state will be getting that funding. And that's up from 40 cents last year. So we are going to be able to meet that demand.
Wow, that's a significant increase, really, isn't it?
It really is. I was delighted with that.
Yeah. So each library, you know, you have hundreds all over Georgia. Are they tailor them to the community somewhat? And how difficult is that to do?
It's actually really easy, because every single library selects their own materials. And because they're the people who know their communities the best, they're the people who greet the patrons who come in the door every day. So I'm sitting in Atlanta. I don't know what people in other communities are looking for. And that's really the beauty of the library, is that they are very local, that the librarians are really embedded in the community. They're involved in partnering with lots of other community agencies, so they know what's being asked for every day, and then they purchase accordingly. That funding just comes through my office, but it goes straight out to all the libraries.
Two, I notice I get my hometown newspaper. I'm from Dawson, and I get the Dawson News every week. A lot of times there's a picture in there of someone who's a performer who's visited the library. Maybe they've been in character reading, or there have been puppet shows, or a singer coming in. It's interesting to see who comes through those libraries. Talk about the programs like that in the various communities around Georgia.
We absolutely love being able to offer those programs for both children and young adults and adults. And I've really seen the range across the state, from puppet shows to, as you said, musical performers, and then authors doing readings. Those are, again, arranged locally. We do try to help coordinate. So if there's a performer who is interested in hitting a lot of the libraries, they can oftentimes get a better price by sharing that information. So we maintain a really robust listserv of all the libraries in the state, and they can share information and say, hey, we've got this great puppet show coming. Do our neighboring communities want it as well? But again, it all depends on the demand in that particular community. Some communities have a lot more families with children, and some have more retirees who would be interested in different kinds of programs. And then I will be contacted. I was just contacted this week by an author who's getting ready to publish a book and said, would the libraries like to have me come talk about my book? And so I can share that out with all the libraries.
Yeah, that's great. That was my next question. How does it happen? Do you get a performer and you go, this person's really good, let's put them in various libraries? Or it just sounds like it happens organically, really.
It really does. We just share a lot of information. We let the libraries choose for themselves. We try to give them the whole menu of possibilities, and then they look at their funding and what they can afford to pay and what they know their communities will enjoy, and they act accordingly.
Also, I know that you do a number of things, like passes to various things like Zoo Atlanta, Georgia State Parks. Every time we have the Georgia State Parks on and do an interview with them, they never fail to mention that you can get a State Parks pass at the libraries. So talk about the things that you do like that through the various attractions around Georgia.
I am so glad you mentioned that, because it's really one of my very favorite things, and that program is growing all the time. Families can check out the passes to the aquarium, to Zoo Atlanta, to the state parks, as you mentioned, which is wildly popular.
Yeah.
Several museums. There's a Macon Museum pass that gets you into several museums in Macon. The wonderful Michael C. Carlos Museum at Emory that has a lot of the Egyptian art. It is absolutely fabulous. The Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta. I can just go on and on and on. And we have a couple of sports tie-ins for the Atlanta Hawks and for the hockey team. And we are just getting ready to announce a couple of others. So I encourage everyone to stay tuned. And I was at a conference the other day mentioning this, and people said, surely this is not at every library. And I want to say it is. It is at every single library in the state.
That's fantastic, because, Jordan, we have so many great attractions around the state, and if you can get access to them through the library, I think it's a brilliant program for you guys to have.
I love it, and I think then people realize they want to go back. They realize what cultural treasures we have around the state.
Today we're discussing the work of the libraries around the state of Georgia with Julie Walker. She's a state librarian for Georgia and also Associate Vice Chancellor for Libraries for the Georgia Public Library Service. Julie, I was also reading, too, that, you know, libraries, we've talked about books, we've talked about things you can do on tablets and so forth, and park passes. But you can also check out some other things, and reading some of the things, you can learn an instrument or check out something, everything from a sewing machine to a ukulele. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. Libraries are not just books. We want to support and encourage every interest and every hobby and every exploration that anybody in Georgia wants to do. So I love the ukuleles. I just think that's the greatest thing. We have a library that checks out cake pans. So if you want to make a special birthday cake in a special shape, you can do that. Sewing machines. A lot of our libraries have maker spaces where there are sewing machines and actually sewing classes. Mm-hmm. There are just all kinds of technology equipment that people can come in and use, 3D printers. Not everybody can have a 3D printer at home. I certainly don't. But if you need to go 3D print something, you can go. A lot of times go to your local library and give that a go.
That's fascinating. I had no idea. I thought it was a library. I knew you did movies, but sewing machines and have you checked out a ukulele? Have you?
Isn't that fantastic? I would love for you to go to one of the libraries has a maker space, because it is just, and I walk in and see some of the classes. Mm-hmm. Some of our libraries have stations where they're actually growing food. They're growing vegetables right there in the library and teaching the kids how to cultivate their own food. So every time I go in, I'm surprised at how creative the programming is around the state. Some of our libraries have a seed library. I don't know if you've seen that before, but they've taken an old card catalog and community members share their seeds for plants and flowers and vegetables, and you can go in and have a seed exchange.
You can go in there and get the seeds to plant for your garden in the library.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely.
Now, we check those out, but you can't check them back in, I guess.
You can't check them back in, you could share some extras if you have them.
That's remarkable. Now, I guess just like everything else, it varies by library and by community then.
It does. And that's the wonderful thing about it, that it's totally driven by the needs of the community and the innovation of the library staff that are there. The great thing, though, is we've talked about the Pines card before. If you have a Pines card, even if you're on vacation down at St. Simon's or up in the mountains, you can visit a Pines library and check books out, because, you know, it would be a real crisis if you were on vacation and ran out of books and didn't have anything to read on the beach. So take that Pines card and you can check out just as if you were at your home library.
Now, explain the difference with a Pines card and then your traditional library card. What does a Pines card entail?
Pines is our statewide, we call it our statewide library card. Probably 3/4 of our libraries in the state are part of the Pines Consortium, and that means that all of their items are together in one integrated catalog. So when you pull gapines.org up on your computer, you are seeing 11 million items. You are not just seeing the items in your library down the street. You're seeing all 11 million items, and you are allowed to borrow those. So if I'm sitting here in Athens and I want to borrow a book that's in Albany, I request that book and the statewide courier service delivers it to my home library. Also, if I'm traveling, and as I say, if I'm down at St. Simon's, I can go in, use my Pines card, check that book out. I can return it back home in Athens, and the courier will make sure it gets back to where it belongs. So it's just a magical system that we're so proud of. It's the largest library consortium in the country. And people in Georgia are so fortunate to have access to 11 million items.
That is great. So if I wanted to check out a ukulele at somewhere, I could? Is it like that, or is it just for books? Oh, my goodness.
Nope, it's not just for books. And it's also for audiobooks. It's for movies. Yeah. So pretty much anything that you can check other than, you know, the reference books and the genealogy books that no one can check out. But everything else you can check out with your Pines card.
And now with that, do you go online and like if you're wondering where you can find whatever item you want, you can go online and see which library to contact about that?
Right. And you don't even have to contact them. You can place a hold from your computer. As soon as you find the item, there's a little button that says place hold, and you can do that. And then it asks you where you would like to pick it up.
That has to be a really busy system, probably.
It's an incredibly busy system. The number of items that we move around the state of Georgia is nothing short of amazing. But that just shows how much people enjoy that.
Yeah, that is remarkable. You really are innovative. That's something. Now, what about the benefits of the traditional library card? Are they like they've always been? You get the actual card, or is that electronic now too?
You still get a library card, so you can, and you could have one on your key ring, or you could have a traditional card. Pines does have an app as well, so you can use it on your phone. We have another new program that we're rolling out across the state called the Play Card. And this is our effort to get a library card in the hands of every single K-12 students. So we are working with school districts to utilize the student's ID number to give students a card. And the benefit of this is that if there are kids whose parents can't bring them to the library and apply for a card in the traditional manner, at least they have this Play Card. It allows the student to check out up to 5 physical items, plus access all the electronic books, the ebooks, you know, all the databases, all of our electronic resources. There are no fines associated with that card. And it can be converted to a full library card at any time if the child and the parent come in and the parent, you know, signs responsibility for the library card. Okay. But we are slowly rolling this out because we have to work with every single school district to make sure the two systems interface so that we can use that student ID card. But I'm thrilled about this because I feel like this is going to touch some students who otherwise would not be able to use their library. And we want everybody to use their library.
Yeah. Now, are the library cards, do you have to use them, like if you live in Gwinnett County, just in Gwinnett? Or can you, if you have Gwinnett card, you can use it in, you know, Stevens County or somewhere like that? Are they interchangeable?
All the Pines cards are interchangeable. Okay. If your library is a Pines library, Gwinnett is not a member of Pines, so they have their own separate card. However, anybody who lives in Gwinnett County can get a Pines card. If you just run out to Athens or run out to Winder or run out to Jefferson, you can get a Pines card.
Okay. And I guess we should talk about, too, that your libraries are accessible to everyone, even people who are blind or have impairments like that. They can still access your services as well.
Absolutely. One of the services that our office coordinates is the Georgia Library Services for the Blind and Print Disabled. Shortened, we call that GLS, and they provide what we have always historically called talking books. Now, the format of talking books has certainly evolved over the years. It used to be tapes. Now it's downloadable digital books, and so the patrons who use that service, who are signed up for that service, can call our wonderful readers advisors that we have in our office and talk about the kinds of books they want, and we will download up to 10 books on a flash drive and mail it right out to them. And it's free matter for the blind. The federal government pays for that. They can use those. They can also download themselves. If they are good computer users, there's a service called Bard, and they can download their own books. But this is a federal service that we provide on behalf of the Library of Congress. And for people who cannot use traditional print, whether it's that they can't physically hold a book or whether they are visually impaired, it is a wonderful service, and I encourage everybody listening, if you know anyone who needs this service, please contact me. Please contact our office. We want to reach everybody in Georgia who could use this service.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't have any barriers to people. You're going to make sure people get the access to the libraries.
We want everybody to be able to read and to be able to access all the great things our libraries do.
You know, before we've talked about it, and you mentioned genealogy a few minutes ago, I know you're a great resource for that. You are, in general, if you want to go check out a history book or something to do research. But what about somebody who wants to study genealogy? What are the materials that are available for things like that?
We have several really excellent genealogy collections. A lot of our public libraries have at least one genealogical history room, but we have some that are larger and more complex. For example, the Ladson Genealogy Library in Vidalia, Georgia is just a treasure. It's right downtown, and I was just there not long ago. It is just a wonderful resource for researchers. The main library in downtown Macon has a wonderful local history and genealogy section. So does the Athens Library. There's the Auburn Avenue Library for African American History down in Sweet Auburn in Atlanta. That is magnificent, worth a visit for everyone. So I'd really encourage everyone. We actually have a section on our website that talks about the treasures of local history and genealogy around the state.
You know, I don't think, and much of our conversation has been about the localization of the libraries in Georgia. And I don't think people, I don't a lot of times think about that or realize like your library is your neighborhood library, and something like genealogy, where you can look up something within your area or different things in your area. It's really amazing how you've pinpointed it and targeted it for different communities.
We have. The library is the heart and soul of every community, and it reflects that very specific community. One other thing that I will mention about some of these local history treasures is that we are working hard to digitize a lot of these. We recently did a program digitizing African-American funeral programs. All of our libraries find these stashes of wonderful local history materials, and those papers aren't going to last forever. So we're busy getting those digitized and putting them into the Digital Library of Georgia so that everybody can enjoy them.
Wow. And I remember back in the day, the microfiche and things like that, microfilm, the machines and all, do you still utilize those? Or all that must have been computerized now, right?
We're computerizing it as fast as we can. There is still some microfilm around, and until we get everything digitized, we still have that availability as well. But we're really working on getting all those things digitized.
Yeah. What are some of the other programs that people need to know about in their local libraries, whether they're kids or adults?
Oh, my goodness. People shouldn't forget that summer reading is not just for kids. A lot of our libraries are doing really fun things with young adults. As horrifying as it may sound, sometimes the libraries do lock-ins and let the young adults spend the night. Uh-oh. The teenagers spend the night in the library. How awesome is that? Yes. Many things. One of my libraries just recently did a program called Bling Your Prom, and it was they collected formal gowns and neckties and shoes and jewelry, and then had a little room opened up to teenagers who needed a prom dress or who needed a tie for their prom. Speaking of ties, one of our libraries has a tiebrary where if someone's going for a job interview and they don't have a necktie, they can come in and check out a necktie. So you'd be surprised at the creative things that our libraries are doing. Several of our libraries have a small food pantry right inside the door with food and toiletries, trying to help people who need a little extra help in that area too. So we're not just about the mind, we're about the whole person.
Oh, that is absolutely remarkable, that the things that you have, you know, at the libraries, and you are part of the definitely an integral part of the community. What about the local level? Do you need librarians in the libraries right now? Do you have a need for people?
We do. We always have a need for people, and people laugh at me because I'm always encouraging young people to go to school and become librarians, because we need some fresh new librarians. But a lot of our libraries are hiring like every other industry in the entire country. There's been a wave of retirements. There have been people changing careers. And so several of our libraries are actively recruiting now. And I can't think of a more wonderful thing to do. I've been doing it for more years than I want to admit, but I'd love for anyone to consider working at their public library. It's one of the most rewarding things in the world. We have 407 of them. They're all different, and they are all remarkable.
Any new libraries? I know last time we talked, we actually mentioned the new one in Norcross. It was this bright and shiny, huge building in the middle of town that I rode by a lot. And I'm sure that one has since opened, but are there other new ones that have opened in Georgia?
There are. I don't know if you and I have talked since the Schweitzer Library, the main library in Cobb County, reopened. Uh-huh. It is just absolutely remarkable. We just had a grand opening this week in Quitman County down in Georgetown, and Governor Kemp was actually there to help us open that one up. We've had a lot of libraries that have been refreshed. Auburn Library over here near me in Athens has had a refresh. So has the Statham Library, that's also kind of out on the outskirts of Athens. And the very generous General Assembly has granted us funds for 6 new buildings this year. So we will be starting construction on several new library projects very soon. So I'm really appreciative that the General Assembly and the local funders continue to realize that we need new libraries or we need updated libraries, and we're constantly working on those projects.
Excellent. Well, Julie, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And I learned more and more about the libraries, and I learned a lot more today of our discussion about Georgia libraries. And thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, it is a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for letting me get the word out about our libraries. And we look forward to seeing you in your library.
And that is Julie Walker. She is the state librarian for Georgia and the associate vice chancellor for Georgia libraries. And she has been talking about what is going on at your local library and telling us about some very, very innovative programs that they now have. You can find out more at georgialibraries.org. If you have questions or comments about today's show, you can always email me, johnclark@georgianewsnetwork.com. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you next week right here on your local radio station on Georgia Focus.